Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show, where ordinary heroes tell extraordinary stories during unique and never been heard before conversations with your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Hillary's unique listening and way of asking questions results in conversations that aren't usually talked about, so you can create the life that you really want but are afraid you can't really have. We are demonstrating the greatness in the human spirit in creating a world where we all reclaim our birthright of joy, happiness, purpose, and passion. Now, here's your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show. And today we have a very special guest. I'm going to bring him to the studio and then I will introduce him. His name is Rick Schnabel. He is the author of A Richer Way to Think, which has been my Bible for the past couple of months. I've given it to my friends and it's their Bible as well. So I recommend it highly. Rick has over 38,000 hours of brain untraining and coaching, since 2002. He created his company, Life Beyond Limits, also in 2002. He's got an amazing story. Welcome, Rick.
Thank you very much, Hillary. I'm absolutely pleased to be on your program, and I love your enthusiasm.
Thank you. And just so everyone knows, it's 6:30 a.m. where he is in Australia. So
it is thank you that early.
For waking up. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Okay. So I know you live like an amazing life right now, but I think people who are struggling would want to hear about where you were before that all happened and how'd you do that? Because everyone wants to do that, right?
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things that I found myself in was I spent a lot of time in libraries. My library card became my best friend when I was very, very young. And, you know, like I was about 7 years old when I got a library card. And I used to get bullied a lot at school. You know, I seemed to be a different thinker and people often would, you know, attack me as sometimes young kids can do. And so I spent a lot of time in the library kind of hiding, but I discovered, of course, children's books. And then I got bored with children's books. And just around the corner, there was the psychology section. And so I started reading psychology books from when I was 7 years old. And I began to get this idea that, hey, this kid who's completely screwed up actually has hope. And so that's what really began my journey because, you know, my mother was a bit abusive and, you know, she wasn't shy in coming forward and really getting into you. So something that I've discovered over the years that when children are hit, they are traumatized and it usually reduces their self-esteem quite majorly. And so that was me. That was me for most of my life. I struggled financially. I struggled socially.
So you had said in the book that you had gotten beaten up for being different. Do you mean, what did you mean by that? You said your name was different or you were from a different place? Or did I misinterpret that?
No, it was actually you're spot on there. It was because my origin is my parents were German and I was the very first child that was actually born in another country. I was born in Australia in Melbourne. And, you know, most of the kids at school, they had names like Smith and Jones and Roberts. And I had this weird name, Schnabel. And I actually hated my name, you know, when I first began because, you know, I can remember in the school ground, it was kind of like, you know, all the boys would get together and they'd say, let's play war games. And they'd say, okay, I'll be the American, you can be the Australian, you can be the English, and you can be the Nazi, you know, and it was really horrible and I hated it. And so I felt really ostracized and I felt like I wasn't accepted. I was apart. and spent a lot of time on my own as a result.
Mm. Okay. And how do you say your last name?
Schnabel.
Schnabel. Well, okay. Sorry.
Some people call it Schnabel. I call it Schnabel. It doesn't really matter.
Okay. All right. Good. Okay. All right. So you're hiding in the library. Your mother's kind of abusive. But you got hope from the books.
Yeah. Yeah. The books, what I love about books is books have this incredible opportunity to kind of open you up, you know, be able to see a different perspective. And I've come to realize that getting a different perspective can completely change your world. And, you know, that's ultimately what led me to write A Richer Way to Think, because, you know, Greg Braden, the scientist, talks about time being quite fractal. So what he means is that time is not on a timeline, you know, the past, the present, and the future. Time is fractal. It keeps spinning around, going through cycles. So what happens is it's a little bit like the old LPs when you got a scratch on the record. It goes around and then all of a sudden it hits that scratch and it becomes that annoying point, you know, in the cycle. So life is very much the same. It just keeps showing up the same lessons again and again and again until you learn from it. And we've probably heard the saying, the universe whispers in your ear, tickles you with a feather, and then slams you with a train. And so my life was hitting this same fractal point again and again and again. It usually was around money. Mm. You know, my parents had issue with money. I had issue with money. And I struggled financially for most of my life. And then we hit this fractal point in my life when I just got married. We were having our first child and I hit the worst financial time in my life. My wife said to me, she said, "I don't know what's going on, but we've only got $27 in our bank account." And of course we had all these bills and I was freaking out. I was incredibly in a really bad place, because I was thinking, here I am as a new father, as a husband, you know, and I can't provide for my family. In fact, if we don't sort this out, we're going to be homeless. And, you know, that all dawned on me and I began to realize that here we were again, you know, at this fractal point in our lives. And I realized that I had to do something different. Like nothing that I'd tried really worked. So I had to do something different. And what I did is I was working in a sales job at the time. And my belief was that I was the worst salesperson in the company. And the sales director told me so. He said, you know, you were the worst salesperson we've ever had. And to give you an idea how bad, for 8 months, I had brought in, like, I think it was $1,500. So, you know that there's no way I can even support my own income, you know, let alone, you know, bring in any great wealth or abundance into the company. So, I had this belief. And the great thing was I was working at the time with a coach. I was also learning neuro-linguistic programming. I'd also learned coaching before then. And I also worked with an American guy who was mentoring me, who was sharing with me the quantum world. And he kept saying to me, look, your life is a reflection of your beliefs and what you expect. You're just getting what you believe and what you expect. And I said, but how do I change that? And he said, neuro-linguistic programming. You got to change in here. So essentially what happened in that time, and particularly working with this coach, he said to me, he said, so tell me, what do you really think about salespeople? And forgive any salespeople that are watching this right now, because this is not true, but this was my belief. And he said, what do you think about salespeople? And I said, I think they're sleazy. They'd sell their own grandmother. And he said, there's your problem. And I said, what do you mean there's my problem? He said, there's your problem. He said, think of yourself, close your eyes right now and think of yourself, excuse me. Sorry. So he said, think of yourself as your most successful. You know, think that you're an incredibly successful salesperson. And so I've got my eyes closed and he said, so tell me, what do you think of yourself? And I said, oh my God, I would sell your grandmother. You know, and he said, that's it. Your problem is that you've got a values conflict. It's like you want to be really successful financially, but if you are, it contradicts your values of being honest and kind and caring and considerate. So he said, that's what's going on. Your brain is essentially saying, do not be successful because you will be a bad person if you're successful. And he said, we've got to get rid of that. So we invested quite a bit of time getting rid of that identity for me. And I had this incredible moment where after that coaching, I remember coming up to my office door and I stopped. Instead of just walking into my office, I stopped. And I said to myself, this is it. I'm changing the game. I'm walking in that office as a different person. And I decided I was going to walk in that office like I was a multimillionaire. And I clearly wasn't, but, you know, I was massively in debt and you know, staring homelessness, you know, in the face. But I walked in that office and I really tried it on. And I asked myself the question, what would I be feeling right now? Like if I was a multimillionaire, what would I be feeling right now? And I had this weird figure of about, I think it was about $13 million in my bank account. And it immediately eased me. And I thought to myself, if I had $13 million in my bank account, would I be worried about anything? Like, would I be worried? Would this be a problem? Mm-hmm. And then I began to think, what would my life be like if I was, you know, if I had that sort of money? And, you know, I imagined having beautiful furniture in the office. I imagined beautiful aromas and smells. I imagined, weirdly, I had this little, you know, fountain, you know, that was trickling water down at, you know, little water fountain piece and beautiful music. And, you know, and it was just very calming and peaceful.
And was that all before you walked in? That was all before you walked in?
That was kind of, yeah, as I was walking in the door, I was taking all this on. And I remember I was working in an office building in Melbourne called the Rialto, which, you know, is 52 stories, I think it is. And I was on the 46th. So it was floor to ceiling glass. You know, and I just walked up to the glass and I put my hands on the glass and I said to myself, you're a multimillionaire. You're doing really well. Everything is okay. Everything will be okay. And I really calmed myself and I felt like I was in a really good space. I shouldn't have, but I was in a really good space. And what happened was my phone rang and I turned around and I picked up my phone. And in that phone call, all of a sudden it's a client giving me an order, which never happened, by the way. You know, well, it only happened once, $1,800, $1,500, whatever it was, you know, chump change. And I was writing down the order. I didn't even know really how to do all this. So I just took the order, wrote it down on a piece of paper. And the amount that I earned in commission from that one order was half a year of what I typically earned in a year. It was half a year's salary.
Wow.
And just before this, the reason that I was doing so badly was I was paid a retainer for a period of time, And then I was taken off retainer. So I was earning nothing. And all of a sudden, I earned half a year's income. And in that moment, I thought to myself, did I create this? You know, did I make this happen? Was it my thinking, my feeling? What was it that made it happen? Now, according to my mentor at the time, I was doing what he suggested I do in order to really change my world. He said the universe at the end of the day does not have a language. No, it's not English. The language of the universe is feeling, you know, and it's vibration. And he said, when you vibrate at the level of consciousness and unconsciousness that really links with the signals that it's vibration meeting vibration, that you can begin to attract all sorts of opportunities into your life. Like every opportunity, every dollar, every gift, every kind word is a vibration. And the thing was that what I did is I decided to do exactly the same thing. So I went through the whole routine again. And this, by the way, wasn't straight after. This was a week later. Nothing happened after that one phone call. And then I did it again. I went through the whole routine again. And the phone rang again, almost about in the same time that it did the first time, you know, from when I got up against the glass. The phone rang again and I picked up the phone and I took another order. Now, I can't remember which one was slightly higher, but there was only $1,000 in commission difference. And
from different people?
Different people, completely wow. Different clients, but almost exactly the same amount. And I thought to myself, this is fascinating. I get two orders in a period of a week, and now I've got a whole year's income from two phone calls. And I'm thinking to myself, this is amazing. But then I felt my old self creeping back in. I felt my old self kind of saying, you know, look, this is a fluke. This isn't going to happen again. You know, like, This is it. This is it. You're never going to be able to replicate this ever again. And I'm just going, shut up, you know, shut up, stop talking like that. And so I decided to go through the whole process again, but I had this little bit of tension. And I could feel this tension. It was like I was thinking to myself, can I really replicate this? And I kept having to tell myself to shut up. Stop that voice. And it took a lot for me to stop that voice. So I recognized that it's not thinking, it's feeling I want to get to. So I thought to myself, remember back when I did it the first time or the second time, either one is fine, but remember back as to how I was feeling. And don't worry about thinking, just concern yourself with feeling. So I allowed myself to feel it. I got there again. It took me longer this time to really get that feeling back again. But then the phone rang again. And so I go to pick it up. But before this, I had a thought. And the thought was, what if even though I've earned half a year's income, which is great, what if even that is a limit? What if even that is a limit? The weird thing, the third phone call that I took and I picked up, I now earned a whole year's salary, which was weird because it was double, you know, the first amount, double the second amount. So what happened was now I had 2 years' income, and this was in a period of 3 weeks. So what I did is a good friend of mine who was also in sales, he basically, you know, we were catching up for lunch every now and then, and I was sharing these experiences with him. And he was fascinated. And he said, okay, let's run through it. Tell me what you did, how you did it, and you know, everything. I want to know all the details. So we were sitting there documenting everything. And he said, you know what? I'm going to try this. So he tried it, and he started getting these incredible results in his own world. And then what he did is, because he had sales teams, he started teaching individuals how to do it, and they started getting results. So he came to me and he said to me, like, I was in Hawaii at one point, and there was a, you know, I get this tap on the shoulder, you know, from this stranger, and I turn around, there's this little Asian lady, and she said, can I do your reading? And I went, sorry, excuse me. And she said, can I do your reading? And she said, I'm a clairvoyant. Mm. And I said, why me? And she said, because there's two things you need to know. And so, to cut a long story short, because I never saw her then and there, I went later and saw her. She said, there's two things you need to know. One is that you're going to write a book that's going to change the way the world thinks. And she said, but the second thing is more important because it affects the book. And I said, what's that? She said, you think you're stupid. And because you think you're stupid, you're going to use these really big, complex words. And these big, complex words are going to make it hard for people to understand what it's all about. Now, what she didn't know, I mean, I almost cried my eyes out when she said this. Because it really hit me here. Because when I was, you know, 13, 14, 15, 16, teenager, I spent a lot of time writing and being on my own. And because I did believe I was stupid, I used to open up the dictionary, look for the most complex word I could find.
Wow.
And then I would try to write a poem or a story using that word, hoping that someone would read my poetry or read my stories and go, oh my God, he was so smart. So, you know, that was my little secret. No one knew that. And,
wow.
You know, and so when I got to the point, like Tony, my friend who was in sales, who was trying everything I was doing, he said to me, one day at lunch, he said, you remember that story you shared with me about the clairvoyant? He told you you were going to write a book. He said, what if it's this? What if it's this?
Oh, wait, when was that? When was the Hawaii? Like years before?
Years. It was about 8 years before. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So you didn't even know this stuff then?
No, no. Wow. And the weird thing was that I actually even tried after I saw the clairvoyant, I even tried writing books. I wrote one book, which was kind of like a, you know, a real life. Who am I? What's my story? It was more of a memoir. And I wrote, I think it was about 35,000-40,000 words. And I got a virus that came into my computer and infected the document, and so I lost that book, you know. So then I went, right, I don't want to tell my story, it's too personal, I don't want to do that, I'm going to write fiction. So I started writing this fiction piece, and so I'm writing this fiction piece, and then I got another virus into my computer that completely screwed up my hard drive, and so I went, okay, that's not the book. And then I said, that's it. I quit. I'm not writing a book. Of course, now I've written six. But the thing is that Tony really inspired me. He said, I'll help you. I'll interview you and I'll get out of you how you did this. And he said, we want to write this book so someone can read this book and it can open up ways. And so hence, that's how the story began, really. And I haven't shut up about it for, you know, 23 years now, you know, so I've been like, I had a gentleman who read my book in South Africa, and he reached out to me, and he said, you know, I want to chat to you because I'm having some challenges. And I said, okay, tell me, what are your challenges? And he said, I read your book.
When did you write this? I'm looking for the
Year. The book. I started the book in 2002. Okay. And then the book ended up being actually published in 2004.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So,
this very book, this one?
It was actually originally called, it was called A Life Beyond Limits.
Oh, okay.
And
published in 2019. Okay.
Yeah. So that's
like 6 years. 6 years.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. So it was, I drove my publisher crazy. Every time we went to republish, I said, there's something else I want to put in the book. I've learned something else that needs to go in the book. And he'd go, oh my God, can we just print the book as it was? And I went, no, there's more I've learned. And so the book just keeps getting bigger and bigger. But the thing that I really discovered is I discovered that there's a second piece to opening up and gaining great things. And this South African gentleman really highlighted that to me. And it was, he said, I read your book. He said, I increased my income, my business income, 500 times. He said, it grew, my company grew so big from, you know, using this thinking. But he said, here's my problem. It did this, and now it's doing this. And he said, I don't know why. And I said, I think I know why. And I said, let me explain my example. So I said, what happened for me is when all of a sudden all this, like my annual income became my monthly income. And I shared with this gentleman that what happened for me was I was basically sitting there looking at a spreadsheet, and this told me how much I was going to earn each month based on all the business that I'd brought in. And I was looking at these columns and going, oh my God, you know, like in October, I'm going to earn 80,000. Oh my God. Before that, in September, I'm going to earn 100 grand. And I was looking at all of these amounts. And I said to this gentleman, I felt bad. You know, like I felt bad. I thought there are so many people who are actually struggling to live. You know, there are so many homeless people. There are so many people who are really, really got a tough life. And it made me feel guilty. And it made me feel like I was almost doing something illegal. Like, you know, this wasn't right. But I began to realize that this was my belief system that weirdly, I know this might sound strange, but weirdly, I thought that there was this pot and it was filled with money. And whenever I put my hand in and took money out, someone missed out. And that's not how it works. Money is created. Money is just a creation. That's all it is. You know, you create a new idea, you could create new money. And so I said,
how did you figure that out from like, was that the NLP? Like, how did you?
That was the NLP. If you think about it, what we've got is we've got belief systems. Belief systems are like on or off buttons. So in other words, if you believe that you can earn big income, then you will do what you need to do or take up opportunities that can earn big income. But if you believe that you can't earn big income, then you'll probably just keep doing what you're doing and you won't try anything new. You'll think, oh, it's too risky. I can't do that. And you'll put barriers, buffers on your earning potential. So the thing that you've got to do is you've got to think about your belief systems, and you've got to really challenge your own belief systems, because people don't always get what they need. They hardly get what they want, but they almost always get what they expect. So that's our belief system. And so you've got to really check in with yourself. What do I really believe about the world and how it works and money and my ability to earn it or my ability not to earn it, whatever it might be. But the thing that we humans love to have predictability. You know, we love knowing that we're going to earn, it might not be a lot, but we know we're going to earn it next week. So, you know, we go paycheck to paycheck to paycheck, you know, expecting to earn what we earn. So, you know, Maxwell Maltz said that we have a cybernetic system. It's like a thermostat. When we earn too much, we get uncomfortable. When we earn less than we normally earn, we get uncomfortable. So we get in that comfort zone. And we bounce around in that comfort zone. But to earn more, there is usually a level of discomfort that we have to get comfortable with. You know, you've got to get comfortable with discomfort. And really, if you think about it, discomfort is just a metaphor. But we act as if it's real. We act as if discomfort is really discomfort, when it's no different to when you fold your arms. My left arm goes over my right. For some people, their right arm goes over their left. Now, when I decide to change my arms and I go right over left instead of left over right, it feels what most people would describe as uncomfortable. It's not uncomfortable. It's just different. That's all it is. So we've got to get this out of our head, these ideas of discomfort, these ideas that change is hard, you know, and all of these sorts of things, because your whole world can do a complete 180 with different perceptions. So that's what we're really talking about here. We're talking about different perceptions. And the brain itself, by the way, does not own you. You own your brain. There's a spirit within you that actually uses this thing called a body to be able to manifest the world that it expects. So the thing that we've got to do is if we want a different result, we've got to expect a different result. And we've got to ask, who do I have to become? You know, who do I actually have to become? Now, if you think about it, in neurolinguistic programming, I learned this idea that essentially we are the net result of all of this, what we call the submodalities of our thinking. So in other words, when I see myself earning money, I see a picture. It's not so much important about what picture you get, but it's important about what are the submodalities of that picture. So for some people, the picture will be framed. For other people, the picture will be, you know, panoramic. For some people, the picture will be really small, like a postage stamp. For other people, the picture will be really big. But it's not just the pictures. It's also how you feel. So in other words, when you see the picture, the question is, where do you feel it in your body? You know, like if you see a picture of yourself being wealthy, and instead of that picture being in your heart, the picture is in your gut and it ties your gut up in a knot, well, then what you've got is you've got a negative kinesthetic, a negative K in the context of your income potential. And so humans, we don't like having our gut all twisted up. So what we'll do is we'll go, let go of that idea. Let go of that idea. Just accept that you're never, ever going to be wealthy. Or just accept that you're never, ever going to make a lot of money, because who wants a twisted gut?
So,
right, Rick, we have to, I'm writing that down so we know the cue. We'll be right back. We have to take a break for a message from our sponsor. All right. And we'll be right back. Parents and teachers, imagine a classroom where every child belongs, where kids are seen, known, and part of a real community. That's the world Kikori creates. Kikori isn't just another program. It's hands-on, playful, and filled with activities kids love, all while building skills that matter for life: confidence, kindness, resilience, and teamwork. Kids learn how to regulate themselves, connect with others, and discover the joy of learning that lasts a lifetime. And it works. Schools using Kikori have seen behavioral referrals drop by 25%, and teachers save hours of planning time. Whether you're a teacher building a safe, positive classroom, or a parent wanting your child to grow socially and emotionally, Kikori makes it easy to bring these life skills into everyday learning. So if you're ready to help kids grow stronger, kinder, and more confident, while creating a community where every child belongs, visit KikoriApp.com. That's K-I-K-O-R-I, where kids thrive together. This is Earth, a planet of extraordinary beauty, filled with life, potential, and possibility. We, the people of this world, are united in our shared humanity. We stand together to embrace the present, heal the past, and create a future where all can thrive. On October 18th, we come together to celebrate what it means to be human, to raise the consciousness of our collective spirit and amplify the best of who we are. From the earth we walk on, to the health of our bodies, to the flourishing of our minds, Humanity Day is about more than just one moment. It's a new beginning. This is our call to action, to invent a new future where we nurture the earth, each other, and the next generations to come. Join us. One day, one world, one humanity. Visit iamhumanity.net and be part of something greater. Together, we'll create a world where humanity thrives.
Hey, it's Hillary from the Getting Real with Hillary Show. Life can be messy, raw, and real. And sometimes we're afraid to feel vulnerable. We're afraid to be that real self. Well, that's exactly what the Getting Real with Hillary Show and Getting Real Movement is all about, being our true selves. Every week, I bring you stories of transformation, authenticity, and hope. People getting real with their struggles, their faith, and their breakthroughs. So don't miss a thing. Subscribe to my weekly newsletter today. You'll get stories, links to everything new, and how to create a life you love every week, directly to your inbox. You can also find my books on Amazon, my courageous and riveting memoir, The Second Piece of French Toast, in case you feel stuck in your life and want to get inspired. How I Came Out About My No Sex Life and My Marriage, in my second book, Real Talk. That one will get you speaking up in ways you've been too afraid to do so, and really creating amazing freedom. And my third book, How to Stop Fixing Yourself and Start Having Fun. The name is called Your Bullshit is Your Blessing. Find links to everything and subscribe to my YouTube channel, Getting Real with Hillary, and you'll find the links in the header. So visit, and you can also visit GettingRealWithHillary.com, because the real you is worth it and wants to come out. And thank you, as always, to our sponsor, KikoriApp.com. It's a social emotional learning platform that you need to bring into your school. So contact them at KikoriApp.com. You will not be sorry, and your kids will thank you. And then my books, just to plug mine,
I've only written three, but this is my first one. This is my memoir, which took me 7 years, but I did it the second piece of French toast. The subtitle is, If Marriage Was My Dream, Why Was I Numbing Myself? So if you find yourself numbing yourself, or you feel like maybe you're stuck and you don't know what to do, check this out. It's great for inspiration, very courageous, and you'll like the story as well. This is my second book, Real Talk. This is for people who don't speak up. And what I learned is when I did, my life started getting much better. So check that one out. This is my third, Your Bullshit Is Your Blessing. This was how to get from the left side of life to the right, where things were much more fun. The left side was kind of dark. I found myself there and I said, wow, what if I could spend more time on the fun side? So I put all my tools and techniques together in a book in case somebody else finds themselves there. You can find them all on Amazon or where other books are sold. Okay. And now we're going to bring back Rick. We didn't hear about the, was he South African guy?
Yes, that's correct.
It's that one, but also the twisted gut. So what happens if people have a twisted gut?
Well, the thing is, you know, people, when they think of their future or they think of something aspirational or wonderful that's coming in their lives, and their gut really twists because they start to think about all they are not in order to be the person that they really want to be, then what we'll do is mentally we will untwist the gut. And the way that we mentally untwist the gut is we undo the thinking that was twisting the gut. So we go back to who we always were. You know, and actually to finish off the piece about the gentleman, the South African gentleman, I sat there on a call and I said to him, the reason that you're having your incomes going back down is because you're feeling guilty about it. You're feeling like, you know, something's not right. And he said, yes, that's exactly what I was thinking. He said, the sentence that I said in my head was something's wrong.
Mm.
And, you know, of course, if we think that something's wrong, what we want to do is we want to make it right again. You know, and how do we make it right again? We go with what we know. We go with what has always been. And so that's usually the second phase. Like once you've manifested something incredible in your life, the thing that I started to realize and understand is that we live with so much logic in our world, you know. Like you hear so many people that come out with the frame, you know, trust the science or what's the science. The thing that we've got to understand about science is not one person. Science is a whole bunch of people, you know, lots of people with quite often conflicting thoughts and ideas and theories. The thing that we have to understand is that we are logical beings, or we've aimed to become as logical as we possibly can because we're worried about what other people are going to think of us. You know, oh, that doesn't sound intelligent. You know, like I knew in the very beginning when I was getting these extraordinary results for the first time in my life, there was a part of me that was feeling a little bit reluctant, a little bit concerned to share, because it sounded like I was crazy. It sounded like I didn't have a sound mind. You know, like who does things like this? So I felt that fight going on. And then when I got over it and I thought, I don't care what people think of me. It doesn't matter. It's none of my business what people think of me. And when I was able to do that, that's when I could do the most good, because I would get up on a stage or get in the video and say, hey, you can do this too. This is how it works. And I would share information and I could be me. And I found also in that process that the real purpose, you know how a lot of us talk about what is my purpose? What is my purpose? The real purpose of all of us in humanity is not for ourselves. our real purpose is to serve someone else or other people. That's when we find the most joy. That's when we find our own happiness, is when we give to others. And, you know, that's purpose. And when you can find that thing that you do for someone else or some other group or humanity or whatever it might be, that's when we find the most joy in life. You know, I can remember at one point my wife said to me, she said, "I've worked out you are not about money." She said, "I really thought you were about money in the early days, because that was my focus, because when I was a kid, I didn't have much money." But she said, "I've realized that it's not about money for you. It's about the feelings that you have. Have I done a good job for somebody? Have I really helped somebody?" And she said, when you feel or when you think that you haven't, then your energy goes down. And it's so true. We always want to feel like we're doing some good in the world. You know, it's a really important piece.
So going back to the guy who felt guilty, or when you felt bad for having the money, I think, you know, or when, you know, the part about, you know, you want to manifest this, you're saying you want it, but then you have these thoughts. Is it then to let go of the thoughts and focus on the feeling? Is that the key? Because we're never going to change the thoughts, really. And that's where I get stuck, is, okay, you got the subconscious and the this and the that, and how do you go past the critical faculty, you know, like all that, like,
yeah.
And I get frozen, like, I don't even know how to do it. You know, I'm trying, but it's not working. You know, like, what is that piece?
That, yeah. I'm... So there's,
yeah.
to get to change the thinking takes quite a considerable effort, you know, and like I'd learned over the years many tools and techniques to do that, using neuro-linguistic programming and other things that I'd invented myself and learned from other incredible teachers. And the thing that we've got to do first off is that we've got to change our feeling inside. Now, that's actually quite a simple process. It's a harder process when you're at the extreme end of things, like when you're really depressed or you've got intense anxiety. It can be a lot harder to change how you're feeling. But if you're not at those extreme ends, all you have to do is, like if I take you through this process, Hillary, think about a really lovely time in your life. Like, think about a really lovely time in your life. You know, pick any one, you know, just one moment in your life. Can you pick a time in your life that was really lovely?
Yeah.
Okay. So close your eyes if you don't mind.
Okay.
And go back to that time and see it. See it in your mind's eye. You know, recall it. Like, it's like you're there again and you're looking through your own eyes and you can start to see what was happening. Now remember the sounds. Remember what was going on. You know, maybe it was you were out in nature, you could hear some birds twittering. Maybe you're in the office and you can hear some murmuring of people talking. And remember the sounds. Now, as you see this picture or movie and hear these sounds, begin to think about where you have stored this in your body. Where do you feel it when you think of this wonderful time?
Right here.
Okay. So just feel it again there. Now, notice as you're seeing this picture, hearing these sounds, feeling this feeling, something's shifting in your body. You're starting to feel maybe a higher level of joy, or what? How would you describe it? What are you feeling?
Yeah, like joy, like happiness.
Yeah.
Happiness.
Can you hear how your voice is calmed? Yeah. So yeah. Now you are manifesting through that state. You know, you've got this joy state, and you're talking really calmly, very gently, you know, and you sound like you're in a good place.
I feel peaceful.
Yeah. So if you think about it, our history, you know, there's so many events in our lives that all you have to do is find those moments that were really joyous if you wish to feel joy. If you wish to feel empathy, you find moments of empathy, you know, times that you really felt empathetic to someone's circumstance, you know, or if you want to feel a level of excitement, or you want to feel a rush of excitement, remember times in your life where you felt that, and then go through what we call the visual, auditory, and kinesthetics. So the visual, the picture, the auditories are the sounds, equally the sounds in our heads, what we were saying to ourselves around those times. And then the kinesthetics, you know, note where you're feeling it in your body. And sometimes you'll feel it in some really strange spots. Mm-hmm. Like you might feel a particular feeling that might be in your sternum or in your heart. They're not strange spots, but you might feel it here, you know, on top of your right or your left shoulder.
Wow.
And so it's a little bit like, and there's been so many people who have written books and understood these concepts that thoughts typically target parts in our bodies. Like at the extreme end, the worst end, you know, people who are really angry usually have issues with their heart. You know, like anger can attack the heart. So conversely, good feelings, joy, and things like that can actually heal the body. Mm. And, you know, there was a period.
When you were thinking, if I was thinking about, okay, being, you know, like you were doing the 13 million and walk, you know, it's not about thinking about it. It's really what you did to get the, you know, when you got the phone call, you were feeling it. You weren't thinking, how am I going to do this? Or, you don't deserve it. You weren't thinking at all. You were in the seeing, hearing, and feeling.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. So
it's not stopping the thinking. It's just really doing something other than that. Right.
Yeah.
Because where I get caught up we have about 6 minutes left, so sorry to interrupt you, but I want to be able to ask you this. You know, when you have the, because this is the part that I got stuck on. So let's just say the $13 million, but inside I think, well, you can't, or you don't know how, or whatever. Like, I was so afraid that I was going to block what I was trying for because of those beliefs. But I think what you're saying is, they'll be there. Who cares? But just do the feeling. The feeling is what, I don't know if it's tricking the subconscious or tricking it to have it manifested. You know what I mean? I was getting stuck in the thinking, I think.
Part. Yeah. And this is where the large majority of people do get stuck.
Yeah. Because I can see, and we have like a minute and a half, so I want you to be able to wrap up. But yeah, I'm trying to think it to happen, and that's not the right place, instead of feeling. So thank you. That is cool. Thank you. That's like awesome. the ticket out of the struggle, right? Anyway, so in the last minute, how do people find you? What do you want to leave people with, and all that good stuff?
Yeah, okay. The best place to start is my main website is lifebeyondlimits.com.au. So lifebeyondlimits.com.au. That's a perfect place to start, because there's resources there, there's courses, there's coaching, there's books, there's all sorts of things. And that's probably the best place to start, because it's kind of like a journey. You know, what we've got to kind of work out is, what do I do next? That's me back in my logic again. You know, what do I do next? Let go of that and just feel your way. Just kind of follow your intuition. You know, this here, this piece between our thinking and our other brain, our heart brain, it's that middle piece, that intuition. Follow your intuition, follow your guidance, and, you know, and be in a good space, create good energy, and that's where to begin. Start with the energy.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Rick. Appreciate everything you've done for the world. Your book is incredible. I recommend it highly. And just thank you for, you know, wanting more and giving it to the rest of us. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Hillary. I've totally enjoyed it and I love sharing this.
Thank you.
And thank you to you too.
Oh, you're welcome. All right. Thank you for watching this episode. I started getting real with Hillary when I discovered that I was a people-pleasing, pleasant phony and wanted to be more of my real self. We can grow together. If you will like the show, subscribe to my channel, and share this episode with your friends and family so that we can have a world that's more real.